Earlier in the service today, I read to you from Deuteronomy and from Exodus chapter 20. So would you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 5? And as you find that, before we stand and read it yet again together, I want to pay just a little tribute to our fathers, because this is Father's Day. And so I just thought that it would be appropriate for us to talk just a little bit about what a father is. Are you ready? A father, first and foremost, is a man that was forced to endure childbirth without anesthetics. In closing, wow, I've had some timing before, but that one's scary. It's still going. A father is a thing that growls when he feels good and laughs very loud when he's scared half to death. A father never quite feels worthy of the worship in his child's eyes. A father is never quite the hero his daughter thinks he is, he hopes to be. He's never quite the man his son believes him to be. And this worries him sometimes, so he works way too hard to smooth the road and the rough places for those he loves and follow him. A father grows old faster than regular people do, because in wartime, they have to stand at the airports and wave goodbye to the uniformed son or daughter that flies away to the places unknown. And while the mother can cry and it shows on the outside, a father has to be brave, and he beams on the outside while quietly he's dying on the inside. Fathers have very strong hearts, so sometimes they have to be broken so that people can actually see what's inside. Fathers give daughters away to other men who are never nearly good enough, so that they can have grandchildren that are always better than yours. And all the grandfathers said, fathers fight dragons daily. They hurry away from the breakfast table, off to the arena that sometimes we call the office or the shop. And there, with loving and calloused hands, they tackle the three-headed dragon every day. Weariness, work, and monotony for the sake of their family. It never seems that they quite win the fight, but they never give up. Amen. Knights in shining armor or fathers in shiny trousers, there's really very little difference as they march to their battle every single day. God bless our fathers. And there's one more I want to share with you today, and it leads to our scripture this morning, and that is that God's word tells us that we are to honor our fathers and mothers. Today, I want to talk about honoring our father. This is found in the Ten Commandments. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word? Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16 says, honor. Do you know what honor means? Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honor. How do we do that? How do we honor our fathers? We do that first by honoring the Father. There are some ways that the Father has given us through his word that we're going to look at this morning, on how we are to honor our Father as God intends. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, your word is ever before us. We're thankful for its reminders, even when, Lord, it brings heartache to our hearts for our disobedience. We're thankful that it brings us back to you. God, this morning we pray for our fathers, the daddies who love you especially, and they ask, God, that you would help all of our fathers to be the example we need to be for our children. But also, Lord, we pray for those who are children to know that there is a special directive given from you that we might not only honor our earthly daddies, but our heavenly one as well. Give us your strength and your wisdom as we seek. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you be seated? The first thing that we can do to honor our fathers is obedience. Because that's what God asks for. First and foremost, do you realize that God, our Father, says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. So if we love our fathers, we'll obey God's commandment that says to honor our fathers. For children, for teenagers, and those of you who are still under the authority of your parents, this is the first thing that you're to do. You are to honor your father, honor your mother, through obedience, because you see, honor is closely tied to obedience, period. And by obedience, I do not mean just outward compliance, because I tell you, you can be outwardly compliant and have a sorry attitude in your heart. And that's not what we're talking about. Yes, do what you're told. Follow the rules of the household. Certainly, you should do that. But even more important than that is to have an attitude of submission and loving willingness to accept his authority. That, folks, is honoring your father, as it same thing would be with honoring God our Father. Now, the Apostle Paul highlights the importance of obedience. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth." Paul recalls this and he brings it forth from the Ten Commandments and he says, obey your parents. And then in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." Now, we're going to talk about that, and obey your parents in everything. And so, if you're a young person here today and you desire to obey God the Father in the matter of honoring your father, it's pretty clear that what you need to do is obey. Submit to him. Whether you agree to his decisions or not, obey. Scripture says that children are to obey their parents in everything. Now, what that means is in every area of life. You can't say, oh, well, he doesn't know about this, and he doesn't know about that, and mom doesn't know about this, mom doesn't know about that. The scripture says obey them in everything, which literally means in every area of your life, whether it's school or whether it's home or whether it's church, whatever it happens to be, you're to be obedient in all directions. And so, although cards and gifts are nice, amen? All the guys say, amen. Now look, I know the guys tell you, they say, look, you know, I really don't need a present. You know, you really don't have to get me a card. Yes, you do. I know we say, just like mama says, oh, you don't have to get me anything. Yes, you do. It can be small, but do something. Just don't forget me. Special meal, back rub, scratch. You know, it doesn't have to be expensive, but think about it. Scripture says that you're to be obedient to parents in everything, but the best way to show your respect to your father is to respect his authority. Do you realize that that is one of the greatest needs of all men? Ladies, last time at Mother's Day when we talked about women, I told all the guys about your greatest need, that your greatest need is what? Do anybody remember? Security. Security is a woman's greatest need. The greatest need for a man when he's young is a physical relationship with his wife and respect. The scripture tells us that. Respect. They go together with the husband and the wife. Respect. That is his greatest need, to know that he is heard and respected. So that pleases God as well. Now, that doesn't mean that fathers or mothers can rule over their households like petty tyrants. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. Because right after the admonition that the scripture gives us to children, we read in both Colossians and Ephesians that there are words aimed at the fathers as well. So they're not to be just tyrants and shouting out orders, because Ephesians 6:4 tells us, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. And then Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. So folks, everything that we do in love. And I know sometimes you say, well, you know, it takes a brick to get my kids' attention. Well, we need to be reminded that it needs a velvet-covered brick. Amen? It should be loving and it should be caring. Nothing wrong with being firm. But make sure it's done with love. Fathers, we need to be very careful that when we instruct our children, that when we discipline our children, that we do it with patience, that we do it with kindness, that we do it with gentleness. In other words, that we do it with love. Does that make sense? There's absolutely nothing wrong and everything right about instructing and disciplining our children, but it should be done with love, care, respect, kindness. How easy it really is to break a child's spirit by being too harsh or too critical. And I think most dads have been there. You know, when we treat them in anger or contempt, listen, it's not okay for us to vent our frustrations on our kids. We come home from a long day or if we're even having a fuss with the wife, it is not okay to vent on the children. They're not our whipping post. Amen? And yet they are treated that way oftentimes because they're handy. They're there. They're the ones who happen to be in the way. Listen, I've done that in the past. I've gone too far with my children. I have three boys. I had one who came and lived with us for a while, for several years there. And I'm going to tell you that with those four boys, there were times that I lost my cool. There were times that I just went a little too far. And I'm going to tell you, when I did that, I knew when it had happened. I knew immediately. And in my spirit, God grabbed my heart and said, you need to do something about this. And I'm going to tell you that there were some times in pride that I said, they know what they need to do. They can just go to their room and they can just stick it out until they get their hearts right. I'm going to tell you, when God grabs your heart, guys, I'm going to tell you that if God grabs your heart and says, hey, you went a little too far, there's something that you need to do. And I'm going to tell you, you need to do it quickly. I'm going to ask you, have you ever told your child, I'm sorry, I got a little angry, I got a little upset, and I took that too far. I shouldn't have yelled at you the way I did. Listen, I'm going to tell you, every time I did that with my boys, I am so thankful that they were forgiving and that there were hugs at the end. They might have been a little tentative at times, but I'm going to tell you, I'm thankful. Because a child that is raised up in loving the Lord knows when you're sincere. And I'm going to tell you that saying, I'm sorry, will go miles and miles and miles in the way of restoring love and kinship and friendship and fellowship with your children. Now, I'm going to tell you, after doing that, did that undermine my authority with those boys? Not at all. Not at all. Just because I went to them and confessed my wrongdoing did not mean that their wrongdoing was something that could be accepted as well. A willingness to admit a mistake is a sign of strength, guys, not a sign of weakness. And it will show your children that you love them and that you love the Lord. It is not a sign of weakness. Now, don't you think that just because I said I'm sorry on occasion that I was soft on my kids? I'm going to tell you, I was firm with my boys. I expected my boys to respect me and to obey me. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 17 says, discipline your son, and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. And I believe that. I believe that when God tells us something, it's true and it's real. I believe in discipline. I believe in parental authority. But I also believe very strongly that God's word teaches us that we need to be careful in how we exercise that authority. That we do it with love, and that we do it with care. We need to be careful how we do that, lest we embitter our children, to discourage our children, even alienate them from a daddy that is too hard-handed. Parents, we need to do unto others, even with our children, as we'd like for them to do unto us. And when our children do wrong, don't we expect them to fess up? Don't we tell them, look, now you know you did it wrong. God expects it of us. Why shouldn't our children expect it of us? We want them to do unto us as we would want them to do unto us. A second way that we can honor our parents, honor our father, is by respecting and valuing his advice. I'm going to remind you again, that's one of a man's greatest needs is respect. And this applies not just to children, but to grown children as well. Honoring your father involves listening to his counsel. And it doesn't mean to do it with your eyes rolling back into the back of your head. It doesn't mean to get a smirk. It doesn't mean to look away. It means to listen to his counsel. Will you always agree? No, you will not always agree. Of course you won't. Nor as an adult are you obliged to follow his counsel. Y'all hear me okay? When you're an adult, when you are under your own roof, when you're paying your own bills, and I don't just mean a college. I don't just mean filling the tank. When you're taking care of yourself in every manner, you're in your own home and you're under your own authority, under God, then you still have the requirement of God to listen and heed the counsel of your father. Again, you might decide that that's not the way you need to go, but with loving respect, if you will hear and heed the words that he gives you, you just might find out that he's smarter than you thought he was. Mark Twain once said it like this. He said, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years." 7 years. I'm going to tell you, for some, it takes a whole lot more years for wisdom to kick in. My daddy even said, I'm going to tell you, one of his famous things that he told me, he said, "I don't think that boys' brains kick in till about 25. Girls a little younger. But guys, listen to your parents. Your mother and father were put there for a reason." In the book of Proverbs, we have several admonitions for children. There are a bunch of them. I'm just going to share a couple of them with you this morning. Proverbs 4, 1 and 2 says, "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching." Proverbs 13, 1, "A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke." Folks, throughout Proverbs, there are some great teachings there. But here's the question. If children are to honor their father, if children are to heed his instruction, then what does that mean the father's supposed to be doing? Instructing, teaching. What's the corresponding obligation to a child listening and learning and heeding? It is to instruct. That is the job of a father. A father is to instruct. In other words, to pass on what he's learned. Does that make sense? Give what God has given you to the children that God has blessed you with. Now, our church provides a lot of children's programs. We are blessed in that, are we not? I'm going to tell you, you know, we've got a fantastic children's minister. We've got a fantastic youth minister. We've got a fantastic music minister. He looks like Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And he's got a heart like that, too. I love that. We've got a wonderful adult ministers who's just started. If you didn't remember about Pat, but he's still here. We also have David. Listen, we've got so many people that we are blessed with, with the ladies in the office. But I'm going to tell you, although we have all of these different education forms, Sunday school, Awanas, Vacation Bible School, youth group, Bible studies, none of them can take the place of a father's instruction. I know we have some great staff, but it is not their job to raise your children. It is not the teacher at the school's job to raise your children. And it's not the job of the ministers to spiritually train your child. Nobody can take his place in that. Church is intended to augment that teaching, to come alongside you while you're teaching in the home. Nowhere, listen to this, nowhere in the Bible does it say that the church is responsible for teaching your children. Nowhere. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children." Impress them on who? Your children. "Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Scripture says that you are to be teaching and impressing the hearts of your children. So according to this passage of Scripture, where is the instruction supposed to be taking place? At church? At school? Where? In the home. Throughout the week and everywhere, he says, as you're walking, as you're talking, at the dinner table, when you rise and when you go to bed, you're to be instructing your children. So take the opportunity. Ultimately, even though we have all these wonderful things and we are grateful for good teachers, amen? Listen, I have had some great Bible teachers in my day, and I am so thankful for the men who taught me growing up when nobody else would. Daddy taught me at home and in Sunday school. I had Sunday school teachers most of the time from the time that I was an older child. It was men because we had a bunch of boys and we were rowdy. But I'm thankful for those guys. But listen, it wasn't their job to make sure that it was instilled in my heart. It was my father's job to do that, my mother's job. We're grateful beyond words for good teachers and all of their hard work. But ultimately, the responsibility for bringing up children in faith belongs to mom and dad, and especially to you, fathers. Now, what does that mean in practice? It means that you need to be aware. Can y'all hear me okay? It's awfully loud up there, isn't it? Okay. What does that mean in practice? We are to be aware of what our children are being taught. Do you know what they're being taught? You need to be aware of what they're being taught in Sunday school. You need to be aware of what they're being taught in school and review it with them. Look, if they bring a paper home, your child has a paper that they bring home from Sunday school, and they've colored a picture, ask them about it. I don't care if it looks like one big color that they just scribbled all across it. You tell them what a great picture, and you say, what is that a picture of? I guarantee you they're going to be able to tell you what it's a picture of. And ask them what that means. Where did you learn about that? And then help them to understand the story. You share it with them, because listen to this. What you think is important, they're going to think is important. What you think is worth time, what you think is worth investing in, they're going to think is worth investing in. So you are the one who sets the importance scale for your children. So in practice, dads, you look at the things that they've got. Ask them what they learned. Discuss it with them. Show them that you take it seriously. Your actions will speak louder than your words. So you don't stop in the parking lot, and I'm glad you're here today, because you're saying, hey, I'm glad you're not preaching at me. I'm preaching with you. You don't stop in the parking lot, let your children out, and go home. You need to bring them to God's worship. Be on the alert, the scripture says, for the teachable moments. When your children come to you with questions about life, when your children come to you and they say, look, I have a teacher that's doing this, I have a friend that's doing that, I've got a problem with this, I've got a problem with that, you take them to God's Word. You teach them from the Bible what God says about it, and you'll never go wrong. God's Word will teach you what to say and what you need to share. Look for those teachable moments and give them biblical answers. That's what Deuteronomy chapter 6 was talking about. Use Proverbs. It's a great place to go through. You can read one proverb a day, one proverb in the morning, one proverb in the evening. Talk to your kids about it. Ask them what they think it means, and then help them understand what it means. Fathers, you are responsible for teaching your children. But I'm going to tell you this, you cannot pass on what you do not have. So if you're going to be a teacher, if you're going to be an instructor, you too need to be a student of God's Word. Get God's Word. Put it in your heart. There's another important thing that children need from their fathers besides instruction and besides discipline. Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Folks, we learn from the best Father of all, God the Father. And this is one of the things that he tells us to do. Give them your blessing. Give them your love, and tell them that they've got them both. God is our model for fatherhood. So fathers, let me ask you, just get ready to say yes or no. Do you love your children? I'm not saying are you always happy with them. We're not always happy with children because they're like us. They're not always right. But do you love them? If you love them, tell them that you love them. Are you proud of your sons and your daughters? Tell them that you're proud of them. And if you do that, you know what? They're not only going to hear you, it's going to go to their heart, it's going to go to their mind, it's going to go to their psyche, and something happens there that is incredibly wonderful. It's called a peace, and it's called happiness, because I'm going to tell you, so many children seek the love of their daddy, seek the approval of their fathers. For some reason, it seems that mothers do a whole lot better job of sharing this with their kids. And they know that mama loves them. They know that mama's proud of them. But folks, I'm going to tell you, so many times we as daddies just have a hard time saying it. I don't know why. It just isn't right. But we should. Do you love them? Are you proud of them? Tell them. Let me ask you, when is the last time you told your children, I love you? When is the last time you told your children, I'm proud of you? It doesn't matter if you've met this mark that the world thinks you should meet, or if you're the greatest athlete, or how much money you're making in the major leagues, or in football, or what have you. It doesn't matter about that. Are you loving your children? Whether your child is 5 or 55, they need you to say those words. I love you. I'm proud of you. Now you say, well, they know that. No, they don't. Not unless you tell them. They'll know that as soon as you tell them. Fathers, give your children your blessing. Give them your blessing. Tell them how proud you are. Fathers have an enormous impact on their children's faith and their values. You know this. But let me tell you how important it is. Did you know that surveys have been done, and if a child is taken to church and they worship regularly growing up with both mom and dad, 80% of children are likely to continue to worship without their mom and their dad. 80%. If only a mother takes the child to church regularly and they worship with them, the probability of a child continuing in worship through the rest of their life is 30%. Hello? So do you think it makes a difference for a daddy to be involved? Okay, what about the other? Let me tell you how important it is for a daddy to be involved. If just the father is involved with the child, and the father only takes them to church and worships with them regularly, the likelihood of that child continuing with regular worship when they're adult is 70%. I'm going to tell you, one of your most important ministries, Daddy, is bringing them to church. Get them to church. Worship with your children. And I'm going to tell you that if it's good for the child, it's going to be good for the daddy. Obedience to the father makes all the difference in the world. You obey God the Father. The children see that in you. They'll want to do that with you as well. Daddies make a difference. Fathers, you make a difference. All the difference in the world. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we are thankful for the example of a loving father. Would you help us as daddies not just to be a dad, but to be a loving father? God, help us to be the kind of dads that love the Lord our God, that love our children and tell them so, that are proud of our children and tell them so. God, help us to share the Father's blessing on our children, that they might be able to enjoy and receive the wonderful and great things that you have for them.